Okay, welcome back. Talking with Dr. Ray Keller about a number of things tonight. Ray's trilogy on Venus is remarkable. You got another book coming out too, right, Ray?
Yes, I have one that's been completed, and I parallel some of my own experiences with the experiences of others and individuals that I've known and written about.
Mm-hmm. Very good. When will that be released, do you think?
Well, I had financed the publication of my first ones, and fortunately, they've broken even.
So good. Good for you. That's not an easy thing to do.
Oh yes. Job. I was so pleased with that. It took like a year and a half, but they did break even just going to UFO meetings and libraries and different events. But people have a real interest in the subject, and I believe that I offer a significant insight into it because I bring a background in history and literature that you know sets it apart.
Absolutely. Okay, so where are we going next in our conversation tonight?
Well, for anybody that would like to go to the From Venus with Love World Conference, that's going to be on the site, thepromiserevealed.com, thepromiserevealed.com. Okay. And they can get all the information about locations and so forth, and it'll be in McLeod at the base of Mount Shasta and in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be many speakers there. George Filer, Major George Filer.
That's coming up next weekend for everybody.
Yes, that'll be next weekend, the 27th uh-huh. through the 29th of this month.
Yeah.
And Frank Chile will be there, myself, Omnek Onek, Louis Martens coming up from Bolivia. And
Ralph Ring and his wife will be there too.
Oh, yes, and Marcia. Mm-hmm. It'll be great. Everybody will be very pleased, and they won't regret going up there.
Well, it's a spectacular place. Now, this will be held not on the slopes of Mount Shasta per se. You're going to be in an indoor facility, and I guess McLeod?
Yes, it'll be in the Country Dance Hall, but we will be taking excursions up there to Mount Shasta for sky watches and so forth. They'll have vegetarian meals and times to meet with...
Now you're talking.
They'll have great cuisine, and they'll have times to meet with all the authors over meals, and they're going to have music and dancing and all kinds of wonderful enlightening activities.
Very good. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if there were one or two in the crowd that might have an unusual point of origin. You never know.
Yeah. Oh yes. You never know. Well, I was looking back at some records of UFO conventions in California, and it struck me one particular one was a New Age convention in 1967 in San Francisco, and there was an appearance of these strange clouds that caught the attention of everybody because they were condensed around some kind of cigar shape and dish-shaped objects. And then the UFOs actually emerged out of these clouds, and people took some pictures of them. And they were published in a newsletter, a tabloid newsletter paper called The Illuminator.
Hmm.
And I thought that that was really great, and kind of reminded me also of the harmonic convergence at Mount Shasta.
Sure.
And you know, you never know, like you say, you never know what might happen at
one of
these events.
They could be all kinds of interesting things going on. So that's next weekend. If people want to go, thepromiserevealed.com, but you could just drive on up there, right?
Yes, you can get in at the door, yeah.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be a problem with that.
No, you don't have to make reservations or anything. No, that's very good. Okay. All right, well, you're going homecoming for Dr. Ray. You go back up to that spot where you watch that woman materialize. That would be very interesting.
Oh, yes, we'll definitely take a trip up there.
Good.
Right. We'll take a little trek up there.
All right. Okay. So what else is on the agenda tonight?
Okay. As far as disappearances, one of the most unusual cases was the disappearance of an entire nuclear-armed Air Force bomber, a B-47 Stratojet, in 1956.
Huh.
This was over the Mediterranean. It took off from MacDill Air Force Base outside of Tampa, Florida, and was bound for Ben Gurion Air Base in Morocco. That's in the northwest of Africa.
Hmm.
And after some refueling on the last leg of the flight, the plane just at an altitude of 14,000 feet just disappeared into a cloud bank. The entire crew and the entire aircraft, and nothing was ever seen from it again. And what's interesting at this was that Spanish UFO clubs were chronicling numerous reports of flying saucers and a huge mothership
mm-hmm.
that was passing north across northwest Africa from Morocco to central Libya at the time that the Air Force bomber vanished.
Hmm. Well, wouldn't be the only plane that's vanished.
Oh, yes,
goodness.
It wouldn't be the only one. And one of the things that incidents that comes to mind was the disappearance over Florida in 1945
mm-hmm.
of the training planes.
Five of them.
Yes.
And they sent out a Martin, one of those large, big Martin flying boats, seaplane, and that blew up.
Yes, and well, those planes were featured in that Columbia Pictures 1977 classic, Close Encounters of the
Very well done too
of the Third Kind. Oh yes,
yeah.
And that movie was so prophetic in many ways.
Huh. Oh, very good. All right. What else? You've got so many things to talk about. I don't want to direct you anywhere. You got the treasury of knowledge. What's next?
The other thing was the that Spielberg.
You know what we need, Ray? It's time for another really great science fiction movie. Not one of these comic book crazies. A very intriguing science fiction movie. Time. We haven't had a good one for a while.
Oh, yes. And, I was thinking that, Craig Campobasso was making that movie about
Thor.
Valiant Thor.
Well, that'll be the one. Yeah.
Yes, I think that could be it. That could be a really big hit.
Oh, I think if it's done right, yeah.
And there's about, I think, maybe 20, 24 minutes of it done now, but they're working to get
Done. Yeah, he's got $25 million. He said raised now, and they are they're working on it. So I think if they cast it right, it can't possibly miss. It's a great story. It's true. Well, it's what
yes.
they say.
And I'd have to thank you for publishing the photos there with Belly and Thor and Robert.
I was happy to do that. You made those possible, and we've spent a couple programs on that. Just a fascinating day, and if all of you want to see these pictures, or any of you, just go look on the right-hand side, scroll down to Dr. Ray Keller, and you can see his earlier visits and look at the photos taken in broad daylight at the farm. I can't remember the month now, but anyway, you probably know.
Oh yes, it was July. July of 1958.
Yeah, and there was a UFO meeting at a farm, and there were 20 people there, something like that. And all of a sudden, in this group, there are three or four people. I've forgotten. I think there are at least three, maybe four, two men and one woman, or two men and two women. And they were totally dressed to the nines, completely dressed, immaculately groomed. They looked completely out of place. And one of them was Valiant Thor and his shipmates, allegedly. And those photos are so strange to look at. So go look up Ray Keller on the right-hand side down under Features, and you'll find those earlier visits. And look at that. You can see the pictures.
And all that information was obtained through the my Auto Binder files. Auto Binder was a comic book and science fiction author. And he just had this fascination with extraterrestrials and UFOs and wrote five books about the alien hybrid hypothesis. But he was working on several books before he died with August C. Roberts, who's the one who took those pictures.
Yes, Augie took the pictures. Now, we do have at least one picture. Look at Ray in Guests tonight. You can find this real simple. Ray Keller in Guests. And if you look, the second link under his name are Aliens from Venus Coming Back to Earth. Click on that. Bruce got Craig's movie poster at the top. But if you scroll right down, the first photograph you see is a photograph of that UFO meeting at the farm in July of 1958. And there is Valiant Thor with the white piece of writing paper in his hands. And next to him is Commander Don. And then who's the woman on the left? That's another shipmate.
Oh, that was Tanya.
They don't look... I see, if you look at them, do they look like they... No, look at how the rest of the crowd is looking at them. Look carefully. Look to your left and you see there's a man and a woman. Woman's in a white sweater. Look how she's looking over at the people. And in the back, too, people are leaning and looking at them. They just didn't fit there. And that's what people maintain are visitors from Venus, Valiant Thor with the notepad. Now, you have those notes, correct?
Yes, and we've published them on your website.
They're on the site, too.
What was interesting was the confirmation that those are the authentic notes is that one of the photographs by August C. Roberts shows the small notebook pad lying on a table with the Howard Menger's photographs of Venusian scout ships and other UFOs.
Right.
And
pretty
then,
neat.
August C. Roberts 11-page summary of the account as edited by Gray Barker from Saucerian Press. That's his editorial notations.
Did August Roberts know that that was Valiant Thor, or did he suspect that there was something going on? I've forgotten.
Yes, he suspected that something was going on. If August C. Roberts didn't write that and take those pictures, we would have
no record.
No knowledge at all of their presence at that at that meeting. And it just goes, as you were saying, it just goes to show, Jeff, that that you never know at these various UFO
who's going to show up
conventions and even a regular meeting, who's in the audience or who's taking notes.
Boy, that would be really something to be at a. You would see somebody. I know George wouldn't miss. He catches people all the time when they're unusual. You do too. When you used to give more presentations, or at the height of your presentation schedule, I would imagine that the question and answer session afterwards had to be maybe for you something to really look forward to, because you got some very unusual people who go to those meetings.
Oh, definitely, and I was showing on this one website a ticket that I received, and it said it's from Commander Aura Raines from the moon base Clarion, good for one trip, and the woman handed me a letter written in the hand of Truman Bethlehem.
Uh-huh.
With the postage stamp and the address and everything from Redondo Beach, and it's definitely authentic, describing the moon base on the far side of the moon, Clarion.
Hmm.
And people come up and they read my Venus books, and they bring me artifacts like that, and all these different meetings, because you know most people dismiss it or don't pay any attention to it, but I certainly take everything that they say seriously and mm-hmm. treat it with the utmost respect.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, if you want again, if you missed it, just look under Ray's name. And look for the piece written by Dr. Bruce Cornett. It's entitled, Are Aliens from Venus Coming Back to Earth? Scroll down. You'll see the pictures right away. And you can, those are, again, if August Roberts hadn't been there and taken these pictures, this, there would be no record of any of this. This was at Howard Menger's farm, 1958, July. And these people just showed up at a UFO meeting, an outdoor sort of get-together, and there they are. It's just really strange.
Well, it certainly has become a legendary account, and the works of and Dr. Frank Stranges, of course, have done a lot to spread the word about Valiant Thor.
Did Frank have any photographs of Valiant Thor that you know of? Did he ever take any photos? They didn't have selfies back then, but one wonders if anybody ever took a picture of Frank with Valiant, even though they only knew each other or were around each other for a few months.
Not that I'm aware of, but I was on a program with Mrs. Julius Stranges, his wife, and
uh-huh.
she was on there with Craig Campobasso.
Yeah.
And at that time, she did say that at numerous meetings that Frank was presenting, that he and she did see him in the audience.
Hmm. Fun. All right. Okay. Next up.
Okay. Well, in this series of articles on the disappearing UFO experiencers, I also looked at any possible reason why they might want to take up an entire bomber like that. Why it would disappear. And in September of 2010, there was a press conference in Washington, D.C., convened by a UFO researcher named Robert Hastings.
Sure.
And along with a half a dozen or so Air Force and military personnel. And they were stressing the importance to national security of unidentified aerial objects at nuclear bases and saying that they could prove it. And so they were referencing all the way back to the mid-1940s through the 1950s when these green fireballs would appear over British and American missile sites and even in the Soviet Union and neutralizing atomic weapons and missiles and so forth. So there's a real interest on the part of the extraterrestrials to stem our progress in nuclear weaponry and and nuclear science and rocketry, because we certainly do pose a threat to the local star sector in our solar system.
Well, we pose the biggest threat to ourselves.
Oh yes, and the Venusians have often described us as being like children playing with matches in a dynamite shack.
There you
and
go. That's a very good description. Yeah.
This is the same message that George Adamski, Truman Bethurum, and Howard Menger and these other contactees have been presenting.
All the contactees of the 50s, that's what they were saying. Same basic message. We're in trouble.
And it's only gotten worse, and we saw an example over there at the Fukushima recently.
That's 7.5 years ago now.
Yes, with the contamination and spreading all the way.
We're in an extinction level event. We've lost virtually the entire North Pacific Ocean. It's now dead, devoid of almost all aquatic life, and now it's moved on to the coast of British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, California, Idaho, Utah, all the way across the country. I'm getting reports of people who are noticing that there aren't any bugs anymore, very few birds left. It's not what it was. So, the damage is clear. And it's nonstop. It's 25 hours a day.
Oh, yes. And back in the 1960s, Nikolai Kardashev in the Soviet Union proposed that there were different types of civilization, and that we haven't even made the type one civilization, which is a planetary civilization.
Right.
This is based on the levels of energy that we use.
Mm-hmm.
A type two civilization would be a solar civilization at the level of a solar system, where they harness the energy of an entire solar system. And then a type three would be a galactic civilization, and a type four one would be almost godlike, which would be universal or interdimensional type of power.
You know what I didn't get? And I would you try and remember to send me photos of that Venusian probe that I think the Russians landed up there. There were some pictures that I didn't get to see.
I'll definitely send those. I'll send those along.
Pictures of the surface, yeah.
Yes, and there's one there of from the Planetary Society, and if somebody else has produced it, by a member of the Planetary Society on behalf of NASA, it's an enhanced a photograph of the 360 degree a photo, but just flattened out.
Right.
That's the one that's really impressive, because it looks like there's like a lake there and some kind of moss and a very clear sky. So it's a great picture.
All right, indeed. Okay, hold on a minute. Time to take a little pause. We'll come right back with Ray after this. Stay with us. Okay, and welcome back. If you look under Ray's name, there are four articles to click on. Actually, there are several parts to two of them. We're going to extend the other one as well. We've talked about Dr. James McDonald, the disappearing UFO experiencers, our aliens from Venus coming back to Earth. Now, that's the story, of course, of Valiant Thor, which we talked about in hour number one. And then we also mentioned the Mormonism and the E.T. gods piece. What did we miss here that we didn't catch that you want to mention tonight, Ray?
Oh, yes. One of the linkages between the two articles on the disappearing UFO experiencers and Dr. McDonald was the intimate association between Steven Spielberg, the producer of the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and Dr. McDonald with Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Both of them were working very closely with Dr. Hynek, who, while he was a technical consultant for the movie, was also in his past from 1947 to 1969. He was the scientific advisor to the Air Force for projects Sign, Grudge, and Blue Book.
Hmm.
And it's just very revealing, the movie that Steven Spielberg did, because a lot of the information that was put out is based on fact, because here we have the Air Force advisor on UFOs, the chief advisor from Northwestern University, a famous astronomer, that has looked at every case the Air Force ever investigated during its history and of UFO investigations. And would the things get in the movie if there was,
So you think that movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind was a message movie? They were giving us basically a look at reality. That's what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, they were. And some of the things that that impressed me about that was the reference to the Interplanetary Exchange Program, where they had the 12 people that were ready to leave and go on board the mothership.
Yeah.
In exchange, when the Flight 19 crew was returned returned to the Earth, as well as all the other hundreds of people that had disappeared in UFO incidents. And that impressed me as being real, because I own some land up in New Mexico on Horse Mountain. It's outside of a little town called Dadle, and I could oversee the plains of San Augustine, where they have the very large array in the National Radio Observatory.
Mm-hmm.
And people around that area, those little towns around there, Dadle, Magdalena, Socorro, Pietown, they all say that...
crash country.
Yeah, they all say that besides an object crashing on the plains of San Augustine, that there was a project of an interplanetary exchange program that was going on there. And just taking their word for it, though, they called it Operation Kristallnacht. It's part of something called Project Serpo.
Uh-huh.
And there was a British independent journalist. He went out to investigate it and in depth. And he said that the story goes that a team of 12 humans traveled to a planet called Serpo with a survivor of the Roswell flying saucer crash. After the establishment of a relationship between the American government and the people of its home world, the closing scenes of Close Encounter of the Third Kind depict 12 people trained and ready to board the mothership, 10 men and 2 women. The numbers match the original story, which claims the personnel visited the planet between 1965 and 1978. and all of them have since allegedly died due to exposure to high radiation levels encountered during the trip.
Well, that goes into the Van Allen belt theory, that it's too intense out there for people to travel through it unless they had about a foot thick lead around them. I don't know. There is a lot of radiation out there, though.
Oh, definitely. Jeff, I'm going to switch to telephones here because I've got a little battery problem.
You sound fine. Good.
Oh, okay. I had the beeping battery, so I'm
going to
swap telephones here.
Well, I noticed in your article you mentioned that the five Grumman TBM Avenger torpedo bombers had disappeared over the Bermuda Triangle. And they, you mentioned they sent out a Martin PBM Mariner, a big flying boat. Yeah. And the Mariner never came back.
Yes, which leads me to believe that this is for real, and it's all documented in the press that all these things happen.
What did President Reagan allegedly say to Steven Spielberg in the White House when they previewed Close Encounters for the Reagans and White House staff, when Spielberg showed up and they had a movie night? Remember what he said? I think it was Reagan said it to Spielberg, and I think he said, what did he say? I mean, he said something like, only two people in this room know what really happened, what's really going on, something like that. Of course, Ronald Reagan and Nancy were very infatuated with the whole theory of UFOs and ETs. One night they were headed over to dinner with Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, and they saw something, and Reagan ordered the driver to chase it, and they were late to dinner at Lucille Ball's because they were out chasing a UFO. So there you go.
Oh, yes, and NASA definitely had a lot to say about the movie. They didn't want it. They wrote a 20-page letter to Spielberg.
What'd they say in the letter?
They said that they didn't want that movie to be released because the film would be dangerous.
They tried to stop the release of the movie?
They tried to stop it, yes.
Huh. I hadn't heard that.
And I know that President Reagan was really into the whole UFO thing, and that was the nature of his conversation at Reykjavik in Iceland with Gorbachev about the scenario of maybe the only thing that could bring the nations of Earth together would be some kind of perceived threat from outer space.
Right. Henry Kissinger made a similar comment in the late 70s, that the only thing that would bring people together would be an off-planet threat. So, there you go.
Then the other area covered in this disappearing UFO experiencers has to deal with those notes on Howard Menger's lecture on the Highbridge Farm that was taken, the notes taken by Valiant Thor, not the ones by August C. Roberts.
So remember, Menger was talking, Valiant Thor was writing notes, right?
And he was writing notes, and he had entered the farm with credentials of being a South African journalist, and among the notes that he took was about Howard Menger's mentioning a vanishing Eskimo tribe. And so I found the articles about the tribe, the Inuit village that disappeared in the vicinity of Hudson Bay. All the people had disappeared. And this is what Howard Menger was talking about, and then on page 5 of Valiant Thor's notes, he wrote, Frank Edwards, 34 or 35 Eskimos discovered before November 1930, empty village, Joe LaBelle, according to huts were empty, dogs starved, kayaks on beach, bottoms out, pots had food in them, even a fresh grave body was removed. What became of them, nobody knows. Lake Achicote, Churchill, Canada. 9 years to find trace, never found any traces, nobody knows. And that was the end of the notes on the village, but it was underscored with a large flourish mark in the middle of the page before he moved on to another subject. So I looked into this incident, and it seems that back in November of 1930, there was Joe LaBelle, a fur trapper, very familiar with the Canadian North Country, and he walked into this Inuit village on the edge of Lake Anjikuni, the entire village had suddenly and inexplicably been abandoned by its inhabitants. So Canadian ufologists began to call it the Roswell of the North, and this is information about this is provided in that article on your website, and investigations by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Nice. Just looking up President Reagan here, he was a very interesting man, and people don't know much about Reagan anymore. Let's see, hold on. Reagan became the first president of the United States to talk about the possibility of an alien invasion from outer space, and he has done so not just once or twice, but in three different speeches. Reagan is also the only president who admitted in a 1984 presidential debate against Walter Mondale to having philosophical discussions about Armageddon in the White House with some rather well-known fundamental preachers. And then there was the explosion about astrology in the White House, triggered by Don Reagan, that's R-E-G-A-N, Reagan, disclosure that Nancy Reagan had often consulted astrologers to arrange for appointments with the president. Everyone knows the details by now, yet we asked Marcello Galluppi, a well-known astrologer and host of a psychic radio and talk show in Detroit, to give another view. He said, "It is very clear to me that the politicians in Washington have their own psychics and astrologers. At least some of them do. Furthermore," continued Marcello, "there is evidence that the Reagans have used astrology for a long time if we consider that he was sworn in at midnight as governor of California based on astrology." Now that I didn't know. Ronald Reagan.
Wow.
So Nancy was into this long before he was in the White House.
Oh yes. I think they even had Gene Dixon over there once.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And I seem to recall that back in 1968, reading some article about Reagan when he was governor, of him flying over the state of California, I think with maybe Ed Meese, and looking out the plane and seeing a flying saucer.
Yeah. The president first disclosed his recurrent thoughts about an alien threat during a December 4th, 1985 speech at the Falston High School in Maryland, where he spoke about his first summit meeting with General Secretary Gorbachev in Geneva. According to a White House transcript, Reagan remarked that during his five-hour private discussions with Gorbachev, he told Gorbachev to think, quote, how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species from another planet outside the universe. It meant the solar system or the galaxy, I would think. We forget all the local differences that we have between our countries would be gone in a second. So there's one reference. Yeah, he made three references to that. So he was definitely involved with it.
Yes, and when the you know, you look at a picture of the Earth from the Voyager probe, which now has left the solar system, the first extrasolar craft from the Earth, and it took a parting shot of the solar system on its way to deep space, and the Earth just looks like this tiny blue dot. So we see how precious this world is, and how we need to take care of it.
Well, we're going in the wrong direction. We have to reverse 180 degrees in that regard. Here's another one. Reagan said, "I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet I ask, here comes the kicker, is not an alien force already among us?" End quote. President Reagan now tries to retreat from that last bold statement by posing a second question. What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war? So he's trying to, looks like he's trying to misdirect people away from what he said. He as president, he may have been told. Nixon knew. Reagan may have known. Nixon took Jackie Gleason to look at alien bodies at Homestead, or is it Holloman? Anyway, one of them in Florida. Ronald Reagan has told us what he thinks often about the issue, yet nobody seems to be paying attention. When the president mentioned May 4th, doesn't have the year here, in Chicago, for the third time, the possibility of a threat, a power from another planet, end quote, the media quickly dubbed it space invaders and laughed at him. So you shouldn't laugh at those things. I would suggest that he was able, allegedly, unlike President Clinton, to find out some things, and it changed his whole perspective.
And I would say that this curtain of ridicule is getting a little thin.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. All right, let's remind people, we just have a minute or so left, Ray. The conference coming up this next weekend at Mount Shasta, and the weather should be beautiful, if not a little warm. That's up a little higher, though, so it should be cooler.
Yes, good weather projected 27th through the 29th. Of July this month. Contact the website thepromiserevealed.com, and Rob Potter, sponsoring the event, will be able to supply you with all the information you know for your own personal Venus adventure.
And all the vegetarian food you can want, right?
Yes, and you'll get to meet a lot of very fascinating individuals working both behind the scenes and up front with everything you wanted to know about Venus.
Well, you get to meet George Filer. He's going to be there. That's worth the trip in itself.
Oh yes, it'll be terrific, and yeah. Omnek Onek, the ambassador from Venus, myself, the Cosmic Ray, to talk about Venus adventures. And,
now this hold on, the ambassador from Venus, give me 30 seconds on this guy.
Oh, this is a woman.
Gal, sorry.
And she came to the Earth from Venus in the 1950s.
Uh-huh.
On a mission to represent Venus in a fifth dimensional aspect, and to bring a message of hope and
right.
enlightenment.
And
to
she's
all the
still here.
She's still here.
Okay.
She's the only one apart from me who's written a Venus trilogy. George Adamski, of course, wrote the three books about about his flying saucer experiences, but he's passed on in 1965.
Yeah. Ray, thank you for being here and sharing all that information. As always, you have yourself a great trip out there next weekend. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on your show, and look forward to meeting many of your listeners up there, perhaps yourself up there on Mount Shasta.
You never know. Thank you again, Ray. You take care.
Thank you.
Okay, good night. All right, we will be right back with you on Monday night. The Best Of will be here Sunday night. In the meantime, you know where we'll be at rents.com, trying to track it all for you. It's pretty crazy out there, and we're doing our best. All right, take care, have a wonderful weekend, and we will talk soon.